turn with me to the book of Psalms 125. This message did not come to me until after the worship service that we had with Fitz and Miles. I told them, I went through three messages today, and I didn't know which one to go to. And so this came out to be the winner, because I realized what we're going through as a congregation. And today I want to talk about being secured within the kingdom of God, or within Christianity. I want us to feel secured today, knowing that God will never leave us nor forsake us. So the book of Psalms 125 starts out this way, and it's actually a song that the children of Israel would sing as they make their way up towards Jerusalem. And here's what they had to say. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. After hearing Tim and some of the circumstances that you're going through, I admit that I too have a lot of fears. How many of you have fears? How many of you are unsure about certain things? Well, I've listed down some of my fears and some of my insecurities. Number one, I'm afraid of heights. So you put me in a certain height level, and then I start to panic. I run out of breath and so forth. I'm afraid of flying. I'm afraid of roller coasters. I don't like when things go too fast. That's why I pick cars that does not go over 65 miles per hour. I can't stand sickness. When I'm in pain, I'm fearful of pain, that something, a little headache may be something bigger than that. I agonize over sickness. I agonize over kidney stones. Amen, Miles. I'm also fearful of rejection. When people reject the things that I say, or they take me for granted, or they question my honesty, or they question my belief, and so forth. I'm scared of the future at times, not knowing what's going to happen next, for instance. These are just some of the things, that causes Pastor Fernie to fear. And so what fears do you face today, for instance? What is it that you're scared of? Now, fear plays a major role sometimes, even in our belief system, or when it comes to our faith. There are implications to our faith when it comes to fear. Our spiritual walk and our telling of others about Jesus, for instance, or encouraging them to become Christians and so forth, may be hampered or constricted to the point of powerlessness, or at the least, mediocrity. In other words, because of the fear that we have in our lives, sometimes it causes us not to tell people about Christ. Because we see that maybe by us telling them about the Lord, that they too may fail. That they too may be rejected. And so our Christian walk then diminishes to mediocrity. We're no longer as passionate about our faith simply because of the fear. Our view of Christianity, in other words, our view of trying to be more like Christ, or being more Christ-like, is changed from being victorious to being a defeatist. Our joy turns to gloom, and then so our view of Christ's yoke of being easy is no longer that. Instead, it becomes a life that's burdensome and difficult. Christianity then becomes like this tightrope act with no net underneath, while people below entertain a morbid thrill of seeing us fall. Do you ever feel that way? Do you feel this way about your own faith when it comes to Christianity? Has it hampered your being able to tell others about Christ or about His kingdom? Being a believer, knowing that being a Christian is excruciating. And so the book of Psalms 125 gives us this picture of a fortress built by God. And Psalms 125 emphasizes not on the precariousness of the Christian life, but on its solidity. In other words, when we talk about dangers, it's not within the Christian walk. Psalms 125 says that the Christian walk is solid. So say this to your neighbor, being a Christian is a good thing. It's more dangerous to be a non-Christian than to face the difficulties of being a believer. I think I said this last week. If you think being Christian is difficult, try being a non-Christian. And so it works the same principle. If you think that being a Christian is dangerous, try being a non-Christian. That's even more dangerous. Are you there? When the zeal of God is there and you feel at that particular moment the presence of God in your life, there's a tendency to try to get people out of danger. In other words, the zeal that I've seen, for instance, in my own life, when I see people doing things that are outside of God's will or doing things that is not of God, here's what happens. I see them as being in danger. Are you there? When I feel secured in God's presence, that's the time that I still see people, or I begin to start seeing people in danger of their own lives. And so what do? I become passionate in telling them, get out of that. Don't do that. However, when fear sets in my own life, then I notice that I really don't tell people about God anymore. Psalms 125 uses familiar geography to demonstrate the truth of God's love and protection. Verse 1 and 2 says, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. Ben Patterson gave this quote. He says, Jerusalem was set in a saucer of hills. It was the safest of cities because of the protective fortress these hills provided. Just so is the person of faith surrounded by the Lord. Better than a city wall, better than a military fortification, is the presence of the God of peace. So in other words, there's nothing safer than when God surrounds you. This is what Psalms 125 is actually saying. If you think you're in a precarious situation, if you think you're in danger of something, know this, that God will never leave you nor forsake you, and He actually surrounds you with His presence. On the other hand, the world is a dangerous place. Who are we kidding? In other words, I'm not standing here as a believer saying that, you know, let's live this la-di-da kind of Christian life in which there's no dangers anywhere. We live in a dangerous place. The reason why TJ is doing what he does is because it is a dangerous place. Old Jerusalem had invaders ready to pounce on the city at any sign of weakness. Our world is still like that. Billions are spent on defense, not just political, but personal danger exists. Did you know that psychologists like Sullivan and Freud describe elaborate security systems of life to protect even ourselves? And I'm not talking about alarm systems. I'm not talking about those kind of things. But there are systems that are placed in our own lives that protects us. Posturing protects me. Have you ever seen people when they posture? You ever seen that? Something is being said, and then right away they go into defense mode. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Do you get scared of that? No. No fear. They put bumper stickers on the back of their trucks. No fear. No. No fear. We don't fear anything. So they posture. Well, how do you know you're not fearful? Well, I jump out of airplanes just to prove to myself I'm not fearful. I drive extra fast because I'm not fearful. Well, of course, Phil CHP comes in and flashes the light. Then all of a sudden, all is fear. You know what I'm saying? Woo! You know? And so posturing is a way of protecting. Being macho. Machoism. That's also a sign of being protective. I'm bigger than you are. I'm more successful than you are. I know more people than you do. And so these are protective mechanisms that we use so that there are no threats that come our way. Pastors will posture with one another sometimes. How big is your congregation? How much tithe are you collecting? Where are you meeting? Oh, Pastor, I can't invite people over here because that's a senior citizen home. After you put all the chairs away, it becomes Lancaster Adult Day Care Center. See, we're meeting over here. These are ways in which we protect ourselves personally. Believers have the same need for protection and security. Here's the difference. The difference is found in the book of Psalms 46, verse 1. And here's what it says. God is a safe place to hide, ready to help when we need him. I need an amen on that. It didn't say God's teaching is a safe place. It didn't say the doctrine is a safe place. Or the way we believe things is a safe place. It says a person is a safe place, and he is God. It doesn't say, you know, the teaching and so forth is a safe place, or a location is a safe place. It says the safest place that we find within this life is in a person. I love this fact that God builds our defenses. It's not us. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 17, starting with verse 8. John 17, verse 8. Look at what Jesus says. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. Look at that. Notice, I was going to go into the second part of Jesus' prayer. You know, not only do we pray to Jesus, but Jesus prays for us. What a concept. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you, Holy Father. Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. Wow, with a prayer like that, how secure can we be that our Lord is not only with us, but he's in constant intercession for us as well. And so what happens is this: when it comes to dealing with threats, when it comes to feelings of depression and doubt, the question is this: are we moved? Well, Pastor, I'm not moved. I can do stuff on my own. Well, as for me, I'm always moved. I'm moved by sadness. I'm moved by joy. I'm moved by success, and I'm also moved by failure. I'm like that, the largest thermometer found in Baker, California, on your way to Vegas. You see that temperature? It goes up and down. Pastor Fernie is like that. I move up and down. I'm just being honest. I moved all the time. My goodness, if the weather changes, I'm moved by that. When I see that there's cloudy skies and not blue because we're in California and there's a little rain, Pastor Fernie is already moved. I'm moved when my daughter drives because I don't want things to happen to her. Are you there? I'm moved by that. I go up and down right along with the weather. Well, I'm not alone in this. Israel is the same. Israel marching triumphantly in the book of Exodus and then grumbling about steak and potatoes the next. Yeah, they're moved. So in one sense, they're having the largest worship celebration by leaving Egypt. And then the next thing you know, they're complaining about steak and eggs. One day, they march around Jericho, and then there's praise, there's victory. And then the next minute, they're committing idolatry. The disciples of Jesus, in one second, they're listening to Jesus in the upper room. The next minute, they're cursing in the courtyard. One minute, they're giving promises to the Lord that they will never, never forsake them. And then Peter denies them the next. What is the solution to all of this? I believe the solution is this. It's the understanding that they are, or we are, always God's people. We live by the facts of God, not by our feelings of God. We're Christians not because of how we feel about God, but because we understand who God is. Feelings go up and down, but facts remain. So it doesn't matter how you feel. Go like this to your neighbor. It doesn't matter how you feel. What matters is God's fact. What matters is who He is. I think that's what Tim is talking about. Because if it were feelings, he would have given up a long time ago. If you break a leg today, or you suffer from kidney stones today, that doesn't make you less of a person. My security comes from who God is, and that He loves me, and not from how I feel. And so this also moves into our pain and suffering. Psalms 125 was written by a person who did not have anesthetics. He didn't have anesthetics in his hospital or aspirin in his medicine chest. As a matter of fact, there were no hospitals back in those days. And there was no Tylenol with codeine. There was no ibuprofen 800 milligrams. His community did not have FEMA or the Red Cross. When it came to earthquakes or natural disasters, he is familiar with all these things. The rape and pillage of military invasion or the oppression of wicked governments. When it came to kings and pharaohs, when it came to the Philistines and Babylon or Rome, he went through all of that. His understanding was simply this, that the fist of the wicked will never violate what is due the righteous. It will never cancel God's purpose that are being worked out in the person's life. Danger and oppression are never too much for faith. It was not too much for Job, it was not too much for Jeremiah, nor was it too much for Jesus. What we have to understand is this, say this with me, evil is temporary. I like that. It never lasts. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 through 14. The Apostle Peter says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice that you participate in the suffering of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when His glory is revealed. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you." In other words, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of pain, there are things, there are treasures that we're able to discover in the midst of all of these things. God hides these things underneath the pain and suffering. There are things to be discovered. There are glories to be had and experienced in the midst of suffering and pain. Are you there? It's not just this end result of what happens in life. When we go through these things, we need to be careful and understand that God has hidden some things that we can discover in the midst of all of that. We miss the Lord's blessings when we take our pain and suffering for granted. Brother Lawrence, he had these writings, and later on it was titled Practicing the Presence of God. Brother Lawrence was this monk who was a shoemaker, and then later on he became a cook for the brothers there in the monastery. And you know, he always looked for God's blessings in everything, even while he was dying. I don't know, some people said he actually had kidney failure because he was suffering in the back here. And so when the brothers were trying to relieve him and ask him, where's the pain? And so he pointed where the pain was. They asked him, you know, Brother Lawrence, why are you lying on the side where there's pain? Why don't you allow us to turn you over so you can find some relief from that pain? And you know what his response was? He says, oh no, brother, just so that I may suffer with Christ just a little longer. He saw the glory behind that. He said, don't take that away from me, because that's a blessing. Allow me to just suffer a little bit more, because in the process, he was able to experience God's presence in the midst of pain and suffering. Christianity is no joke. That's why it's been around for centuries. People who live by the faith, they change the world around them. Psalms 34. Look at what this psalmist says. He says, I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and what? He answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved me out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And the psalmist continues on. Psalms 125, I think, is the message today when it comes to how we feel, when it comes to our fears. Therefore, it ends with peace be to Israel. I love that. Peace be upon Israel. When the Hebrews would say that to one another, peace be upon Israel, it's a colloquial. It simply means this: relax. Like, hey man, peace be upon Israel. It means chill. Don't trip. Relax. God is in control. When fear hits, when there are things that you're unsure of, here's what you do. Peace be upon Israel. Relax. Chill. God is in control. Allow these pain and suffering to have its way so that therefore you can discover exactly God's blessings for you. That's Christianity. We live in the real world. We experience a lot of things, but God never looks down on us because we're fearful. He just wants us to move ahead towards him. Amen? That's the real issue. He created you and me so that we can be closer to him. That's it. Did you know that? Because of his love for us, he wants us to come towards him with everything that we got. Our insecurities, our fears, our situations, the unsurety of what happens in our lives and so forth. God sees all that. Would you stand with me? Here's what I'd like for us to do. Some of you here may be riddled with fear. What is it that scares you today? What is it that concerns you today? God wants you to move forward. And so here's what I'd like for you to do. I want you to symbolically move forward by coming up here and saying, Pastor, There's some things that I'm afraid of. And I need God. I need to do His will. And so I'm going to step up. If you're that person today, come on up. If you know somebody that's going through that, I want you to grab their hand and say, you know what? You need to come with me. It's all right. God wants your lives to be powerful and victorious. He wants you to experience life in which nobody's ever been able to experience that before. He wants your life to be successful. He wants your life to be meaningful, to be able to touch the lives of others. He wants your life to be a blessing also to others. You understand that? Because He loves you. That's it. He loves you. Now here's what I'm going to do. If there's some of you here, and I'm not going to ask for hands, if there's some of you here that needs Christ to fill your heart today, the only thing you got to do is open your heart. I can't see your heart. But hallelujah, He can. He sees it. He sees it. He sees the fear. He sees the insecurities. He sees the things that concerns you. He sees that. And all you have to do is open your heart. And I'm going to pray. We're going to pray. And we're going to welcome His presence right there, right where you stand, right where your circumstances are. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before You with these issues. Things that causes us fear, unsureness, O Lord. Things that has hampered our walk with You. Not totally, Lord, but just a little. It just keeps us from moving forward towards You. So, Father, in Jesus' name, would Your Holy Spirit, O God, begin to descend upon the hearts of men, women, and children today in the name of Jesus. Lord, would You fill them, O Lord God, with Your presence. And just like our brother Tim, O Lord God, who just challenges, O Lord God, Your provision, just challenges, O Lord God, Your movement, O God, I pray, O Lord, that today that would be also our portion when it comes to knowing You, Lord, that You would never leave us nor forsake us. But Lord, it is your will, O God, that we move towards You. And Lord, that's exactly what we're doing today in the name of Jesus. I pray, O God, that there will be a difference, O Lord, that would take place within our lives today. Father, this is one commitment, O God, that we will not hold back on, simply because we know, O Lord, that You love us so. Simply because we know, O God, that You are the meaning to our lives. So, Father, I pray, O God, that the futures, the things that we're unsure of, O Lord, we would begin to discover the blessings underneath all of that. That, Lord, we would be able to overturn these difficulties, O Lord, and find hidden treasures, O God, that You have placed there. Simply, those are just for us, O Lord, to be able to enjoy. For us, O God, to be able to use in our lives. Those difficulties that we go through, O Lord, I pray, O God, that there will be blessings underneath that. And that we would look upon those, Lord, as opportunities, O Father God, that only our Heavenly Father can give us. And so, Lord, we receive those things in love in Jesus' name. And whatever, O Lord, that the enemy has designed for us to suffer in pain and all that, we rebuke all of that, Lord, because we know that You are in control, not the enemy. Have Your way with us, O Lord God. In Jesus' name, give guidance, O Lord. Give provisions, O God. Give encouragement, O Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, and for Your glory, O God, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.